Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another thought-provoking show for you this morning. The United States, in conjunction with the international community, will confront the threat of ISIS. The questions are, will Congress support the president? Is the American people behind the president as the growing threat of the Islamic State known as ISIL or ISIS continues to grow? Well, we're going to tackle those questions this morning. Ray Rice was let go from the Ravens and suspended indefinitely from the NFL. There are calls for Roger Goodell's resignation for what appears to have been nothing short of a lie when he says the NFL didn't see the video of Rice knocking out his then fiance, and we're going to address why every man should stand firm against domestic violence. It's all coming up here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
I want to be emphatic and unequivocal. ISIS ought to be completely and utterly destroyed. I don't want any confusion here. There is no ambiguity or equivocation in my voice. I am clear about what I'm saying. ISIS or ISIL or whatever term you want to use to describe this bane on civilized society should be completely wiped out. In my mind, they have demonstrated that the worst acts you can commit on a human being is not outside the scope of their desires or capability. They have stripped people naked. They have beat people. They have tortured them. They have burned them. They have shot them down like dogs. They have marched entire groups of Shiites and other groups toward the edges of ditches and shot them down with no care in the world, no compunction, no internal guilt, no reservations. Marched them to a ditch wearing their black masks. And they shot them down like dogs, like animals. This is a group that ought not to exist in our civilized society. We're talking about killing people that share the same religious tradition, albeit different and skewed interpretations of the Islamic faith, but nevertheless, they supposedly share the same or proclaim the same God. And yet, without any compunction, will shoot them down and throw them in a ditch. They ought not exist. And the sectarian violence that has existed between the Sunnis and the Shiites for well over 1,500 years is only a fraction of the evil that dwells in the heart of these extremists. Every time I think about it, it stirs my ire. What they are doing and their aims to attack our country is reprehensible. And the beheadings of two of our American citizens, well, my friends, this requires an answer that is both ruthless and sustained. But of course, there is a caveat. The American people ought not bear the brunt or have to fight this thing alone. ISIS has killed thousands of Muslims in both Iraq and Syria. They have brutalized and tortured hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Muslims. Of course, they are a regional threat. a regional threat with a global reach. And we all ought to be concerned. And I know that many of you have watched the president's speech this week. And I have to tell you, I am proud of the president. I applaud his bold stand. I know that he has been sort of dragged into a situation where he has to use stronger and forceful language to rally the international community. And I want all of us to keep this in mind. Hundreds of European and a small number of Americans have joined the cause of ISIS. So the threat is substantial. But the folks who are under a greater threat are our allies in the region. It is the Muslim countries that should be, in my mind, taking the lead in destroying ISIS. And while conservatives want to lay the blame of this escalating crisis on President Obama, the blame, in my mind, should be laid squarely at the feet of Maliki for not establishing a representative government in Iraq that could have quelled the resentment and the mistrust the Sunni people has for the Shiite dominated government. And now we have an effort on the part of the new government in Iraq to be more inclusive of the Sunni population. Because what has essentially happened, what has fueled all of this, what has created this turmoil is an ineffective government that had an opportunity to bring all parties to the table with regard to governing Iraq. And it left open the possibility and the creation of a ruthless group of people who saw absolutely no problem with beheading our people and killing their own people. And the question we have to confront, what we must grapple with is it our responsibility to get in the middle of a sectarian war between Shiite and Sunni as the ISIS terrorists kill and rampage their way to Baghdad? That's the question that we do. We actually had the stomach for this. Do we have it? Do we want to send more troops into an area where people simply just can't get along? Because right now, ISIS have already taken control of Mosul and Erbil and Kirkuk and Sinjar and Abu Ghamal. So they have established themselves as a viable fighting force against anyone who wants to wrest control of the situation. And you have to wonder, if the Sunnis were welcomed initially to help govern Iraq, if that resentment of being left out would have not bubbled over to a situation where we're seeing this escalating violence. You have to wonder about that. Take a listen to President Obama.
Thanks to our military and counterterrorism professionals, America is safer. Still, we continue to face a terrorist threat. We can't erase every trace of evil from the world, and small groups of killers have the capacity to do great harm. That was the case before 9/11, and that remains true today. And that's why we must remain vigilant as threats emerge. At this moment, the greatest threats come from the Middle East and North Africa, where radical groups exploit grievances for their own gain. And one of those groups is ISIL, which calls itself the Islamic State. Now, let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. It was formerly al-Qaeda's affiliate in Iraq and has taken advantage of sectarian strife and Syria's civil war to gain territory on both sides of the Iraq-Syrian border. It is recognized by no government, nor by the people it subjugates. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple, and it has no vision other than the slaughter of all who stand in its way. In a region that has known so much bloodshed, these terrorists are unique in their brutality. They execute captured prisoners. They kill children. They enslave, rape, and force women into marriage. They threaten the religious minority with genocide. And in acts of barbarism, they took the lives of two American journalists, Jim Foley and Stephen Sotloff. So ISIL poses a threat to the people of Iraq and Syria and the broader Middle East, including American citizens, personnel, and facilities. If left unchecked, these terrorists could pose a growing threat beyond that region, including to the United States.
Now, let's face it, folks, neither President Obama or the American people want to send thousands of American soldiers back into another theater of war. I don't want to see it. The American people, I just want to be completely honest with you. I have never donned a uniform, and I've never been in a situation where I have to kill on a consistent, constant basis in a foreign land. But I do understand, and I think most Americans understand, the toll that it is taking on our military to be constantly requested and to be required to go overseas and fight a war for people who perhaps just simply can't get along. And I'm wondering whether or not it is any of our business. I've been grappling with that question, and I think the only thing that mires us into this situation is the inevitability of that violence visiting our shores. Yeah, we memorialized September 11, and we took moments to reflect upon what happened to our nation 13 years ago. And so we still have that ingrained in our mind, in our spirit. It is still a visceral feeling that we have when we had to watch those towers come down. And as we reflect upon that most tragic event in our history, we're reminded of the potential threat that ISIS poses to our country. But the question is, do we have the stomach to send our troops over there again? Do the American people have it within them? Because given the economic toll that war has inflicted on our country, I'm not sure. Critics of the president, most of whom will never have to ever don a uniform to dodge bullets and dodge bombs, are beating the drums of war again. But their sentiments and desire for war is not aligned with the desires of the American people. And during the president's address to the nation this week, I listened intently, hoping in his speech that he would address the concerns that I and so many Americans share. And I didn't want a blustering, chest-thumping president who acts with haste. I didn't want some arrogant, smug leader thumbing his nose at the rest of the world, blindly leading us into some aimless campaign of death and maiming of our troops. I wanted a sober-thinking man. I want someone who is going to think through the ramifications and mull over the options that we have, develop a long-term strategy, and consider the consequences of a potential quagmire. Because again, we have been at war for 13 years since 9/11, and it seems as if it's in a circle of violence that we cannot seem to escape. So I want a president who's going to consider the long-term impact on our military, on our military families, and on our economy. The question is it worth sending our troops into another theater of war to help people who continue to fight for 1,500 years amongst themselves because they simply can't get along? I wanted a true assessment of the crisis, not a manufactured set of assumptions in a circumstantial situation where ultimately there is needless costs of lives, American lives. And ultimately the American people want Muslim nations to take the risks here, to stick their own necks out for once. Where is Saudi Arabia in all of this? Where is Jordan in all of this? Where is Turkey? Where are the European nations? My friends, my family, we should not do this alone. And I am glad that there is a building of a coalition. I'm glad that John Kerry is gallivanting around the world, ensuring that we are not doing this alone. And as I understand it, there have been countries who have made commitments to ensure that we are not doing this alone. And I applaud the efforts of many of these countries who are assisting in humanitarian efforts and support with an air campaign. But darn it, they're going to have to put their own troops on the ground. Air power in this instance is not enough. There has to be skin in the game. There has to be folks on the front line that live day to day with the violence and the sadistic acts of ISIS. They have to put their lives on the line. The Muslim nations have to make the sacrifices here. I watched an interesting analysis of all of this, and the regional conflicts, particularly in Syria, has allowed for the discontent and the extremism to fester, giving ISIS an opportunity to exploit the fear and the angst many people who have been joining this barbaric group. What has occurred here is being left out and not sure where to go. And as I understand it, most of the Sunnis who have joined ISIS don't embrace that group's evil and twisted ideology. They are simply responding to a vacuum of leadership and would probably welcome a chance to be on the right side of this issue. So it seems to me that efforts ought to include a campaign of denying ISIS social standing that opens the door for more recruits. Military strategy is not enough. It must be accompanied by a strategic rethinking of how we engage the social and the political constructs that allows these tensions to fester and groups like ISIS to form. That's where we ought to be headed. What we're seeing unfold is not simply a group so brutal that even, can you imagine this? Al-Qaeda has denounced these folks. They have been denounced by Al-Qaeda. That is absolutely crazy to me, because their wave of killing, their murderous and brutal acts, their bloodthirsty behavior, their religious fanaticism, it is what is defining the Middle East in terms of extremism. And it will be the definition of the Middle East for decades to come. So the president, in my mind, is right to bolster our special forces with, I think there was an estimate of 475 more special forces. And I suspect that there will be a substantially larger number, as there will be casualties as our folks are in the sky dropping bombs and the drones are in the area. There are going to be casualties. There are going to be casualties. But I think the most important component is for these Islamic countries. I think they should be heading for the front lines in this battle. And we have to have a more robust plan to help the new government in Iraq to secure a more representative government. This will help in a tremendous way. The efforts of ISIS to establish a caliphate needs to be stopped dead in its tracks. All right, we're going to switch gears to talk about the other issue that garnered so much national attention, and that is the Baltimore Ravens football player Ray Rice and the infamous elevator video showing him punching and knocking out his then fiance and now wife, Janae Palmer. All right, joining me right now is my friend, my coworker, my colleague, the diva of Charlotte radio, the lovely Miss Olympia D, host of the Olympia D Show on our sister station, Old School 105.3. Olympia, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me this early. First of all, what are you doing here so early in the morning?
You asked me to come. So since you asked, I decided I'll show up this early in the morning, as long as it's not on a regular basis, because a sister might have a few problems with this one.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Olympia, as you know, there has been a tremendous response to the video of Ray Rice knocking out his then fiance and now wife. And it's interesting how folks have been responding on social networking platforms. Mm-hmm. What were your listeners saying about this?
I think everyone was kind of taken aback.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why they were taken aback, because they saw him drag her off the elevator, but they did not see what happened behind the closed doors.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you actually see how it went down, mm-hmm. it's almost like, oh my gosh, did he really do that?
Yeah.
It's just, it's one thing to think that it happened that way. It's another thing to see it happen that way.
Right. There was a visceral, I mean, across the country, this was a conversation people were having, and people were outraged by this. But give me a sense about your listeners. Were they expressing the same kind of visceral anger, frustration that we have seen across the country?
Yeah, they did. And surprisingly, most of the anger came from the men who said, hey, you should never hit a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising to me, because you always think that women are like coming to the aid of other women and quick to speak up for other women. And they did. Don't get me wrong. They did. But I was very surprised at the men who said, you know what? A ban from NFL for the rest of his life is a good punishment.
And I think it is really about time that men took a much firmer stance against domestic violence. And for me, it is very important, particularly because I have a sister, I have a mother, I have did I say girlfriends?
Yes, you did. You almost said girlfriend. Who your girlfriend is,
right? I have a wife of 20 plus years, and I just...
She can be your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's
true. A great thing. Because you got to continue to date all those years.
Absolutely. And she's such a sexy woman too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, again, when a man puts his hands on a woman, it is something that men has to you really take a firm stand against.
Mm-hmm. You have to take a stand against. And I think that some people, you know, even questioned his now wife mm-hmm. about her motives of getting married a month after that situation happened. It's like, how can you allow a man to punch you out cold and still marry him a month later?
Yeah. Do you think the country is now ready for a more robust discussion about domestic violence?
I think it's getting to that point mm-hmm. because more and more women are dying from domestic violence.
Yeah.
We hear every day someone who has been shot, stabbed, killed mm-hmm. basically mm-hmm. from an abuser.
Yeah.
And I think we need to become more vigilant as far as our efforts to address this growing concern in our community.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the consensus among your audience that Ray Rice has been fired from the Ravens, suspended indefinitely from the NFL?
I think, like I said, everyone is pretty much shocked mm-hmm. That the NFL took that route. However, like I said, we had a large number of men that said, you know what, we agree with the NFL that they should ban him possibly for life, or at least for this season. We had this conversation earlier this week at one of the events that I went to mm-hmm. where a lot of people felt like maybe the year-long ban is too much, but mm-hmm. definitely he should be banned from the NFL for at least a year mm-hmm. or suspended from the NFL for at least a year.
Mm-hmm. Is there a sense that the NFL is going far enough in creating an environment where this nonsense is no longer tolerated?
I feel like they are doing that. I feel like they are creating that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. However, I have a bit of a problem with this whole situation. And here's my issue with the NFL. Supposedly, they did not receive the video. But of course, they have an FBI, a former FBI agent who has been investigating. They stated that, no, in fact, the NFL did get the video in April.
Yeah.
And they had all the information that they needed. And a voicemail was also left by one of the workers inside of the NFL corporate office that said, hey, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Stating that they had viewed it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so now it's kind of like CYB, cover your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's going on right now with the NFL, because they did take a stance against domestic violence, suspending him for 2 games. But I guess once the media got a hold of it and pretty much distributed it to the rest of the world, like, hey, he got a 2-game suspension, and I think he has to go to anger management or some type of class, and that's all he's going to get for punching out his wife?
So do you think that there is a consensus that Roger Goodell actually lied about not seeing the video?
I hate to call him a liar, but yeah, bro, looks like you lied there, bud.
Well, Olympia, one last question in terms of the overall consensus of women and having to grapple with this. As you know, Domestic Violence Month is coming up in October. I will be dealing with this issue on my show. I know certainly you will be dealing with this. What is your message to women who are grappling with this issue right now?
Well, let me just say this. I can't really talk directly to the women. I think it's to the women and to the men, because what I found out with dealing with domestic violence is that it not only attacks women, it also attacks the men too.
Yeah.
I think a lot more men are quiet about it because, you know, it emasculates them. Mm-hmm. How dare you let a woman walk up on you and beat you up? You know, you're much bigger. You're a man. Come on, take a stance.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of men that are being abused as well.
Right.
So I would like to say that the consensus around the world is that we cannot tolerate domestic violence to continue. Too many people are losing their lives to an abuser, and something has to be done. Stricter laws have to be in place, and people need to speak up.
Yeah.
As I put on my Facebook page, the biggest killer amongst victims of domestic violence is silence. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was raised, what happened in the house stays in the house. Mm-hmm. You don't tell everybody your business.
Yeah.
But sometimes you cannot get the help you need until someone knows what's really going on behind closed doors.
Right.
And I know earlier this week I saw on Good Morning America, there is now an app for domestic violence victims where if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable or your abuser is about to abuse, mm-hmm. It's an app that you can get that will send a text message out to at least five people on your list.
Right,
of course,
right.
You have to pre-plan those things and, you know, figure out who those five people will be and also the message that you will send out. So say if you're at a dinner party and you said something or did something that might upset your abuser, you could send a text message out to at least five people that says, hey, don't leave me alone.
Yeah,
or if you're in the process of going through that abuse, you could send a text message that says, hey, I need help, or simply help me. I'm at home. Help me. So I think those type of apps and those type of programs need to be broadcasted, and people need to know that you don't have to put up with it, that there are different options that you can take. Also, too, they address the reason why some women and men do not leave is because of the fear factor.
Yeah.
You really got to have your thing together when you decide that you're going to leave an abuser, because the last thing you want to do is have to go back into that situation.
That's right.
When you have to expose yourself back into that situation after leaving, honey, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Olympia, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I think I owe you a cup of coffee.
You know what? I want some Starbucks. Are they open this time in the morning? Really?
I hope so. Olympia D can be heard on our Old School 105.3 station Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And on Saturday, what time?
And on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. as well.
All right. So I certainly urge you to listen to the lovely, the diva of radio, Charlotte Radio, Olympia D. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank Olympia D from our sister station, Old School 105.3, for joining me to talk about Ray Rice and domestic violence. I also want to urge all of you to be steadfast in watching the developments in our campaign against ISIS. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronholland.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website, as well as our Old School 105.3 website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.